Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It was 11:23 p.m. Friday night, August 24th, just a couple of weeks ago. Channel 2 was showing a late preseason game between the Packers and the Raiders, so I happened to be downstairs sitting on the couch, my feet on the ottoman, wearing my Packers pajamas and drinking an adult beverage out of my Packers cup. My cell phone rang. I looked down, and it was Grace, our 17-year-old daughter. My heart skipped a beat. I answered the phone and said, "Hello?" And she said, "Daddy, I've been in an accident. I can hardly breathe." I asked, "Where are you?" "On the way to school." "Okay, tell me more. Where are you?" "You'll see the lights." So I ran up the stairs, told Amy what was going on, and we agreed that I would try to get there as quickly as possible. I threw on some shorts, left my pajama top on, and drove there. Again, I may have exceeded the speed limit. When I got there, I found out she was right. I saw the lights. There were multiple emergency response vehicles. As I pulled in and got out of the car, I ran past the car that Grace was driving, a 2010 Toyota Prius. It used to be a four-door. Now it was a three-door. The door, the back door on the driver's side, well, I don't know where it was. The side of the car was smashed in a good foot or two. I ran to the rescue squad, grabbed the handle, and took a deep breath. I opened it, went in, and there I saw Grace and her friend Hannah sitting there both crying, obviously in pain. When I got up there, Grace saw me. Her tears just started to come down tremendously. And then so did mine. Why? I'm sure there was a mix of emotions, but mostly, praise God. Thank God. The other man, the other driver, a 25-year-old man, he was walking around. Hannah, while she was hurt, was able to be taken home by her mom, who was an EMT. And Grace, while we needed to get her to the emergency room, she was conscious. She was talking. She was alive. Praise God. And so that's why I share that story with you this morning, why Grace has given me permission to share it with you this morning, to say it again, praise God. Because see, if the impact had been just 18 to 24 inches forward where she was sitting, the story this morning may be very, very different. Lucky? Perhaps. But I think there is something more. I'm just going to go ahead and praise and thank God. Now, no one saw the hand of God come down and push the Prius a little bit forward. No one saw the hand of God come down and hold back that Chevy Cruze so the impact would be behind her and not at her. But I believe that God was there, he was present, and he protected her. And as I look back on my own life, I can think of multiple events where I believe God also was present and protecting me. And I'm willing to bet as I look out on you, you also can think back on your lives and remember other occasions where you believe God was also present and protecting you. So what do we do? How do we respond? Like the psalmist, we praise the Lord. In today's gospel text, we hear of a slightly different situation. Unlike the story I just shared, in our text, people physically brought this man to Jesus to be healed. This man could not hear, and he had a speech impediment. And the Son of God was there. He was clearly present, and Jesus visibly healed him. Jesus healed the man so they could hear perfectly and speak plainly. And the response is one of complete amazement because Jesus continued to heal and serve. And in the Gospel of Mark, this healing follows upon Jesus healing a young girl who was possessed by a demon spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, physically came into this world and visibly healed people. Of course, he came into this world and did far more than visibly heal people. He brought healing that cannot be seen, so to speak. Through his suffering and death, he atoned for our sins. Through his resurrection, he conquered sin, death, and the devil. And through his ascension, he sits at the right hand of God, where, as we remember from Acts 3, verse 21, he will remain until it becomes time for all things to be restored. And that is the key. Through Jesus, through his works, you will be fully restored. I will be fully restored. All of creation will be fully restored. There will be no heartaches or hardships. There will be no accidents or impediments. There will be no strife. There will be no sin. You will just be simply living in the glory and perfection of God. And when I think about that, that full restoration, I cannot help but think of the phrase, all of me. For some of you, if you're a certain generation, you heard that three-word phrase, all of me, perhaps you think of a song sung by John Legend. Perhaps if you're of a different generation, you think of a song, same title, sung by Frank Sinatra. Or perhaps if you're somewhere in between, you think of a movie starring Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin. Anyone? I saw one. Yeah. But just like there are potentially three different ways or memories associated with that three-word phrase, I believe there are at least three ways for us to understand that phrase in biblical context. The first is quite simply if Jesus was speaking directly to you and to me. Because let's remember, Jesus, the Son of God, did not come down in royal splendor with the heavenly host and throw his weight around, so to speak. Rather, he was incarnated by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and died. In his actions, Jesus is saying, I give all of me for you, even my life. And for what purpose? Well, that brings us to the second way to understand that phrase, what Jesus has healed. Not just my ears, my eyes, my nose, or my limbs, rather all of me. As Joel reminds us, though our skin may decay and our bodies be destroyed, on that last day, we will be raised up, fully restored, and with our own eyes, see God. But it's not just physical restoration, it's spiritual. A complete, righteous relationship with God. So how do we respond? How do we respond to Jesus giving all of himself for all of us? Again, I return to Psalm 146, where the psalmist writes, let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. And so weekly we gather together as a congregation to receive the gifts that God brings us in word, sacrament, in the forgiveness of sins, but also to thank him, to praise him, to do so individually, to do so collectively. But let's not forget another Bible passage. In Romans 12, verse 1, just after Paul talks about how through Jesus, all of Israel, all of God's people will be saved, Paul writes, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In other words, there is something more. There is something more than 1 hour out of 168. Properly understood, worship is the expression of the reverence and adoration of God. In other words, worship extends beyond these walls. Worship extends beyond this hour. And in our worship of God, we are urged to be living sacrifices. When I hear that phrase, living sacrifices, I am reminded of our cartoon, perhaps many of you have also seen. It is of a hen and a pig. And as they're walking down the road, they come across a billboard advertising a breakfast to help feed the hungry. The hen looks at the pig and says, we should contribute some ham and eggs. The pig looks at the hen and says, for you it's a contribution, for me it's a bit more. Well, when Paul writes about sacrifices in Romans 12, it reminds me not just of that cartoon, but also of what Jesus said. In both Luke and Matthew, we hear of the rich man who wants to inherit the eternal life. And so he comes to Jesus and asks him, what must I do? And Jesus says, well, obey the commandments. They said, well, yeah, I did all that. What else must I do? And Jesus said, sell all that you have, come and follow me. There's an echo of what Jesus also says in Matthew 16. If anyone would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It is, without doubt, the worst recruitment speech ever. But understanding what Jesus is saying in terms of following him, understanding what Paul is saying in terms of being living sacrifices, helps us to understand what the proper response is. What God really wants. And contrary to what you may have heard, God doesn't want 10%. God wants 100%. He wants it all. Let that sink in. He wants all of me. He wants all of you. And so now we have a third way of understanding that three-word phrase. Jesus gave all of himself for every part of us, and in response invites us to give all of us to him. So what exactly does that mean? Now, lest all of you start messaging Pastor Seidler saying, never come in here again. Pastor Seidler said we had to sell everything and give it to the church. That's not what I'm saying, all right? Jesus' invitation to the rich man to sell everything he had was an invitation to a particular person for a particular reason. But what is universally applicable is the purpose behind that message. Jesus also invites you and me to follow him. He invites us to follow him in all aspects of our lives. He invites us to manage our lives, or to put it differently, to steward our lives in a way that furthers his kingdom and glorifies him. And so there it is. I came to that word. The noun is steward, the verb is to steward, and the noun is stewardship. I'm willing to bet almost all of us, when we hear that noun stewardship, there's a slight subconscious recoiling, because that word has become almost synonymous with, I must give money. Well, we know intellectually that stewardship is more about giving of our treasures. It's also giving of our talents and time. But I'm telling you, there is far more to stewardship. There is a greater, more overarching, comprehensive understanding of what stewardship is. And we've actually said what it is. 20 years ago, at the 1998 LCMS convention, we defined stewardship as the free and joyous activity of the child of God in managing all of life's resources for God's purposes. How we use our time matters. How we use our money matters. How we use our talents matters. As Jesus himself reminded us in the parable of talents, what is given to us is not to be buried until he returns, but used to further his kingdom, his purposes. And all of this is done as a response. Thanking him, praising him, worshiping him. So a few Fridays ago, an event occurred that caused me to thank and praise God. Many more Fridays ago, a far more important event occurred that impacts every single one of us here. So let us thank and praise God. May our ears perfectly hear and our mouths plainly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. May our hands sacrificially share and our hearts genuinely reflect the love of God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understandings, keep all of you in Christ Jesus.